even in our smaller towns, we think we're alone because of how the way the world's going, but we're not. And I think it's important we shouldn't classify Oklahoma as, one evil town or one evil state. We're slowly learning. I'd say it's a very progressive state for people who have never actually lived here.
Okay, hello everyone. Today we have the founder of Rural Oklahoma Pride with us, and he actually got sent to me from some, basically, I think a friend or just, someone who supports what you're doing out in Oklahoma, which was really, really cool for me as someone who's just doing this work for fun and trying to, spotlight people who are also just doing the hard work out of the kindness of their hearts. So I'm really excited to talk with you today. And we always kick it off with how you identify gender and sexuality wise. So we'll start there for you.
Okay. Well, hi, everyone. My name is Jacob. I identify as he, him, and I'm a very openly gay male.
Great. And so, Jacob, ultimately, I've read a little bit about you, and you're in rural Oklahoma, and you're just leading these pride walks through town. And it's something that sounds like really simple and almost easy. I just want you to tell people kind of the mission of this and why it's so important. You're telling me just a little bit right before this about why it matters, especially in these rural places, for people to feel like they have a community of queer people. But I want to hear more about how you started this and what made you want to say, let's start walking together.
I'd be happy to share it with y'all. So as you said prior, it sounds easy. I mean, it is easy in a sense, but you have to go through so many bylaws. You have to get the right permit. You have to gather the right people to join you to do it. So you're not doing it alone. And honestly, I've been doing this because I see attention on our bigger cities, but I don't hear about it in our smaller communities. And for someone like myself who grew up in a small town, I feel like it's important that we have our small town queer voices being heard, because ultimately no one should have to be ostracized or have to leave their little town just to go celebrate who they are when they could do it right there.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know I've made note that I just moved because I could financially afford to do so. And also I just, wasn't willing to put up with the small town mindset sometimes. And while that is a choice in and of itself, like you said, it shouldn't have to be the only choice. And where did you start finding people who were similar to you and saying, we need to gather? Because I'm sure, like you said, you felt really ostracized and isolated in the beginning of just even your queer journey.
Well, to answer that question, I had a group of friends back in the day. And some of us are no longer close, and it's a bit sad, but we all were the weirdos, the outcast, the ones that no one really paid attention to. And it started from there. I told my best friend at the time, I think we need to do something in the small town to help our journey blossom, or to show people that we're loud, we're here, and ultimately, I know it's cliche, but we're queer, and we're not going anywhere.
Yeah. And then your journey has been pretty tumultuous a little bit with coming out as well. Can you tell us a little bit about what you've seen and your experience within rural Oklahoma as far as noticing that you had these feelings, and then also speaking them out loud and trying to be yourself ultimately?
So honestly, the only thing I can say is when I came out, that was a different time. We didn't, worry about what our pronouns were. That was something that did happen later on, and I'm thankful that way we can actually learn about people. But when I was coming out, it was just very hard. You either got accepted for who you are because of your status or how much wealth you had, or for people like me, you grew up on the wrong side of the tracks, and when you came out, it was literally every day was a living hell.
Oh, God. And so high school is tough for anyone. I would never go back to that time. But what was that like for you? Because I think I read somewhere that you were coming out in middle school and everything like that, but then also you were forced to basically drop out of high school because you were being bullied so bad.
So in middle school, when I came out, everything was fine. And then the older crowd, of the people I went to school with started making it worse. They would shove me down, push me into like the locker door. And there was even ultimately a time when a bully came to school, and I was sick prior to this. He came up, he found out I was gay and held a knife to my neck ultimately. And the principal walked by and then walked away like nothing happened. And so I ended up getting suspended because I wanted to fight back. And he quote unquote said it was for safety reasons. But honestly, it's a small town. Here's a popular student who has lots of money. Mm. And here's a kid who's from the other side of the tracks.
Mm-hmm.
So it felt like personally, he didn't want to pay attention to me, only the person that's helping him get fundings or however you would like to describe it as.
Right, right. And I think especially in this day and age, there's a balance between picking your battles and being like, look, I'm tired, you know, or I just want to stay under the radar. I don't want to like cause a ruckus or, you know, create any more conflict. And then, or at some point these can go back and forth, right? But then you kind of get angry and you're like, no, we need to mobilize and we need to do something about this. This is no longer acceptable. What did that transition look like for you? Because it sounds like, I mean, you're just talking to me now, but it sounds as if it was from the get-go, you were like, we need to get together and like, well, here are my friends and this is crazy and I need to like talk to the principal. It sounds like you were already ready to go, but that takes a lot of courage, a lot of support from people around you too. So talk to me a little bit about that.
So as you probably already know, and for the viewers out there who are just now learning this, I did not go into high school. I dropped out due to the bullying. I tried even taking my own life. And that was the first thing inside of me. I realized that there was a voice that needed to be heard, and I wasn't the only one.
Hmm.
So to watch it transition from me being alone to finding other people like myself to now what it's became has been tremendous. It's also been very terrifying.
Yeah.
And it's been a beautiful journey, I can say that.
Yeah. And so talk me through these pride walks and what they mean to you and how you organized it initially.
So honestly, we just started the Facebook page.
Yeah.
And we started having like little monthly meetings with anyone in our queer community that needed a safe space to talk to. So we went to originally our library. And then from there, I think it's a bit random, but I think it just happened one day. I looked at my best friend. I was like, pick up your pride flag. We're doing this. And then we went down Main Street. Oh, my bad. Main Street. Then we went over towards like a park area, but a lot of people saw it. And I was like, you know what? If they're mad that we're, you know, exercising our right to be who we are, then so what? If they want to join in, come on. There's a line of people waiting.
Yeah. So after that first initial one, what was the feedback?
There were a lot of negative things being said about each individual there, including myself. But at the same time, we were flooded with people saying, we saw you on the news or we saw it in the newspaper and we want to say we're proud of you. We even had students reach out from like two or three towns over that messaged us and said, we finally had the courage to see our small town blossom to the point where they too can stand up and be who they are.
I mean, that's got to feel incredible. I'm sure you weren't expecting that, but was it just a great surprise? Because I would expect that hate, right? I would expect that kind of dialogue. But to hear people from like towns over that, I'm sure, then you're kind of starting this ripple and you're starting to change people's minds and giving them the courage to come out too. And then now how often are these walks? Like, are they, how much more has this grown for you and in today's environment?
I'd say we originally started doing it every June to honor Pride,
yeah.
But then it's turned into every small town that wants us to come there, such as Ada or Chickasha. We just do it whenever we have the opportunity.
Yeah.
And I think it's changed in the long run because more and more people are finding us and they're finding the voice within. And that's ultimately what rural Oklahoma Pride is about. It's not just about gays or straights. It's about all of us finding a voice to help us grow within the LGBT community.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, our LGBT plus community. Because
yeah.
The plus, simply, you know, I know there's the long acronym like 2SL LGBT, but we also incorporate that with straight people.
Mm-hmm.
Because I saw straight individuals struggling with the same problem I was struggling with. And I don't want anyone to ever feel that way.
Wait, so say more about that, about your experience, like seeing straight people also struggle with this issue.
So being like an outcast or a misfit, I've seen even my straight peers in school be bullied just for having different colored hair or piercings here and here.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just tired of it. Why can't we all just, I guess, get along or live in harmony for once? Ultimately, what created Rural Oklahoma Pride?
Yeah. And the world we live in now, I think people like you are making it better, right? And especially in these rural places where it's needed, I think, more than ever. And to just see themselves reflected or other possibilities of how you can exist in the world. So like you said, straight people or, you know, a queer man like yourself. So it's just so interesting with all the divisiveness and just, again, especially in the United States, obviously, around politics and kind of gender care and things like that. What is, like, how does Rural Pride of Oklahoma, like, what is your end goal? Are you working towards anything in those realms, or is there a mission, or right now are you just kind of taking it day by day and making sure you're just spreading the message?
So the ultimate goal, we want to be able to offer resources. So we're in a process of either becoming a 501c3 or even just an L.
Good.
But there will be a, I wouldn't say like an end.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people do this, but we're working on just calling it Rural Pride. That way we can have more people with the same knowledge we have and then some be able to spread it to, for example, Omaha, Nebraska. Because we think these small towns across the United States need it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is our end goal, to reach everybody in the small towns.
Yes. Yes. And small towns, I think, get a lot of a bad reputation. But you, I've even seen that, you know, older straight couples will join these walks or comment on the walks and say it's beautiful to see. Like, there's so much good there. I mean, I've lived in a bunch of different places now, and whenever I reference being from Omaha, Nebraska, people are always like, oh, I've never met anyone from Nebraska. You don't seem like you're from Nebraska. And I think those stereotypes are just funny to me in their own right, but they also can be, you know, very dismissive and just wrong to a lot of people. And I know it makes things easier. Stereotypes exist for a reason. But I love being from Nebraska, and I love the Midwest spirit. I think there's so much good there, and I think people are genuinely kind, or they want to be kind. And, you know, sometimes you have to help them get from that point to this point as far as like a queer issue. But I just think there's still so much good. So tell me more about, again, like the good from rural Oklahoma for other people who are like, oh, I could never live there, or this is why I don't want to, you know, deal with that kind of, you know, environment.
Well, I guess it's a cliche, but we still do have our southern, you know, hospitality.
Yeah.
We still, ma'am, no sir, yes, or yes sir, no sir, yes ma'am, no sir. But we do care about our LGBT. Our state may be red, but you can still find a bunch of those blue dots, you know, for the Democratic side. Or heck, even the Republicans support us. Even in our smaller towns, we think we're alone because of how the way the world's going, but we're not. And I think it's important we shouldn't classify Oklahoma as, you know, one evil town or one evil state because of Joe Exotic. You know, we're like that. We're not all hillbillies, as they like to call us on TikTok. We're civilized humans. Well, most of us are. But those of us who we think we're not, we're slowly learning. I'd say it's a very progressive state for people who have never actually lived here.
Yeah. And I know you had mentioned before this that you met Sarah Cunningham recently, and she also says the same thing, her and Katrina from Free Mom Hug. So that's also refreshing to hear. And how was meeting her? Like, I want to know how that interaction happened.
So my adopted sister, Jamie, is part of our, I think she's still part of Free Mom Hugs. And she's like, hey, we're coming to Duncan and I have a surprise for you. And I'm like, oh my gosh, are you getting married here? Do I need to wear a tuxedo? And she's like, no, not yet. Not for a long time. But she came and I saw this Jeep and I'm like, huh, I like Jamie's new car. And being from rural Oklahoma Pride, you don't have PFLAG or Free Mom Hugs. So I didn't know what Free Mom Hugs was at the time. And there she was. And she's like, hi, I'm Sarah, or you can call me Mama. And I'm like, okay, nice to meet you. And my sister's like, I think you and Sarah would get along perfect. So I like to tell everyone she's like a godmother to all of us queer people here in Oklahoma.
Yeah. And she's just, I mean, again, the exception, I think, to a lot of. We just released an episode about mother-daughter relationships with my mom. And I do think just mother to child relationship is very interesting because I do like the moms I just think are more involved, they're more emotionally engaged in a lot of ways. And so to see that relationship sour is really hard because I think there's more hope there in that relationship than potentially, a father child relationship, just from like, I hate to say a gender perspective, but it's so nice to see people come around or someone like Sarah who's just done all the work. And especially in Oklahoma, you know what I mean? Like that's a great, and she started a whole nonprofit and made it this her life's work, which is kind of similar to you like at this point in your life too. So it's just so refreshing. And again, I just hope it diminishes the stereotypes that you guys experience too. It's like you said, you're just like everyone else. And there's a lot of room in this state for like acceptance and love, and that's what you're working towards anyway. And I'm scared to ask, but I know we have to touch on it, if with your family, how has been like how what's the reception been to you coming out over the years, to you even doing these walks?
Well, I guess it's safe to say it. My mother has not really been okay with it. She's came around. But from the age of 17 until I was like 23, 24, we were really not close because I grew up in a broken home. I had a drug addict mother and an absent father. So it wasn't easy being who I was, but I didn't let what they were doing affect me. If anything, I let it add to me so I could continue to press forward. My
And
mother's
so,
proud, but not out there proud. Like, she won't come to a drag show or even a pride event.
And I think I love that the queers started this whole idea of chosen family because I do think that is so perfect for our journey, and whether our true blood family whatever comes back around or makes their way around would be great, would be ideal, but the idea that you can create your own family that it could be just as valuable and supportive, if not more, is what I see a lot of young people going through today too, of just find your people. Honestly, that's part of it. I think this whole journey is just find the right people who make you feel loved and supported, and also, challenge you and hold you accountable and all those things. It doesn't have to be this ride or die for your own physical family. Sometimes that's just not the case for a lot of people, especially queer people. Like the more I get to know, no matter what family like you come from, like your family or even a family that's seemingly, very white picket fence, it's a lot more nuanced than people I like see it just out in the world. So do you feel like stay or do you think you're gonna stay in rural Oklahoma and also continue to do this work? And have you found your, chosen group that also rides for you with these events?
Well, it's interesting you say that. I did find my chosen tribe of the family. And ironically, they did a 23andMe or Ancestry DNA and found out we were actually related. So it was a
Stop.
blessing in disguise.
Oh, that's so cool. Okay,
We're
wow.
distant, but you're still my mother. And like, well, thank you. And I may stay in Oklahoma for some period, but my heart will always be in New Orleans. I will die a New Orleans person. But
Really?
I love the atmosphere down there.
And
Me and
then,
my husband just came back from, and it was just, whoa.
wait, you have a husband?
Yes, I have a husband.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. How long have you guys been married?
Well, thank you. We're not married as of yet, but we've been together almost 3. We like to call each other husband.
Oh, I love that. That's amazing. And so, has your queer love journey been, hopefully it's been like it started and has grown in rural Oklahoma, right? That's where you guys met, I assume, or
We actually met on Facebook dating, and ironically, his father was one of the nurses there when I was being born at the hospital. So it's like the universe threw us back together, and we're born in the same hospital, in that same town, everything.
And I think that just gives other people hope of, again, you can find your people and find your love still in these spaces. Like that's so beautiful to see. And oh, I'm so happy for you. That's amazing. I had no idea. And I love to see it. I can't wait for you guys to get married or whatever you see fit. But Anything else you want to tell people about maybe rural Oklahoma or what you're doing there or why this matters to you as well?
So for rural Oklahoma, I get it. Not a lot of people want to come to our little towns because either we have only one red light or one gas station. But go out there, listen to the voices of the town, rather if it's straight or rather it be the gay voices. Listen to the journeys of all the people out there because they too can give you inspiration to find your own path or give you hope for something similar that you're going down. And when it comes to love, all I can say is, yeah, you can give up on it. Yeah, you can cross your heart and say, I'll never fall in love. But will you ever really know what love is until you put yourself out there? I know some people are afraid to commit, but press forward. What's going to happen? You're going to be scared. You're going to be nervous the whole time. That's okay. That's all love is supposed to be about, you know, scary and new feelings. Mm-hmm. But you can find it in the darkest of places.
Yeah. And then what would you say to young people, especially in rural communities across the U.S., who are terrified still and don't feel like they're represented or don't feel safe? What would you tell them during this time?
During this time, I would tell them, listen to the inner voice. If it's telling you that you want to break free and find your own strength, find a group of friends or make your own group of friends or even check online and talk to people. Because right now, especially during the pandemic, it's hard to get out and meet people. But it's important that we become vocal. Mm-hmm. Because if we're not vocal about what we feel, then honestly, I know it's going to be horrible to say, but that sets us back so many years. And it's time for us to stand up. And if someone needs anything out there or you're needing a guiding voice, come to Rural Oklahoma Pride. We got mothers, brothers, sisters, cousins. We'll be happy to help you.
Yeah. And you're like, there's so many people, queer people of various gender identities or whatever, various sexualities that have done so much work and marched and done the same things for decades, you know, so that you can make, so we can make some kind of progress. And I just think the rural spaces are not forgotten in that way either. And look at you, like, building this out and having the courage to do that yourself and walk through these towns and say, hey, this might not be well received, but also to see all the good that's already come from it. If you can even just affect one person, in my opinion, it's like, mm-hmm. freaking, all right, I'm done. I did my job, you know? So it's just, I just hope everyone feels like they can have that hope. And there's so much. And look at you, you found your love too. Like, life can be really good. I'm sure it wasn't always that way for you as far as thinking, you know, you thought at one point you're going to take your own life, that you shouldn't even be here. I just don't want anyone to ever feel that way again, especially as a queer person. So I'm just grateful that you're here, and I'm grateful that you've taken all of this strength that you've built up to even be louder and go out and make more noise in spaces that you know might not be safe for you. I think that's like a gift to everyone here, and I hope anyone who listens feels like renewed in that way. And yeah, I just wanted to say that.
There is one thing I want to add. Yeah. You know, maybe it can help the next queer individual. I did try taking my own life. I do have a scar on this wrist, but on top of that scar over here on the forearm, I have Defy Gravity. So I want to say, if you listen to Vivian Mandrell's only version of Defy Gravity from her Defying Gravity, don't think about Wicked. Think about what it could also mean. Because I'm the type of person that will decipher music. And to me, I feel like she's trying to tell us that we shouldn't play by the way of society. We need to go out, break our own shell, and basically rise above anything that's trying to hold us back. And that is my little piece of advice for anyone. Just listen to the song until your ears bleed like I did.
I love that song. I completely agree. Idina Menzel too. Like, wow, what a voice. Where can people find you? Either on Instagram or Facebook or any resource groups that people can find you on. So just plug those now.
Rural Oklahoma Pride is available on TikTok, same username for our Instagram, Facebook, or you can just go to ruralokpride.com. There we are as well.
Okay, awesome. Okay, guys, thank you so much for listening. This was Queer Intentions, where you go. We release every Monday, and this is Jacob from Rural Oklahoma Pride doing the really hard work in places that are not easy. So everyone's work matters. This is just such an uplifting conversation. I'm so glad I got to meet with you and see what you're doing from the Midwest too, which has a special place in my heart. So just thank you for all that you do. And
thank you.
I'm so grateful. Again, I'm so grateful that you're still here on this planet. I'm so glad that you found the courage, because I think a lot of people would just, again, slide under the radar. Sometimes the fight feels like it's not worth the fight. And I just appreciate you coming out the other side. I mean, I know a little bit what that looks like, but I think to your extent, it's just huge. It's incredible. So yeah, I just want to thank you again. And this was so nice.
Well, I do want to say, you know, yes, people are going to say horrible things. Like, I've been called horrible things all my life, even from people I don't even know on the internet.
Yeah.
They've called me god awful things and tried making allegations about the friends that I know. But yeah, first it affects you, but then you let that add fuel to your fire. Like, yes, you're going to take the good and the bad, but ultimately focus on the good. Would you rather focus on someone that called you, excuse my French here, a bastard? Or would you rather focus about that little kid that says, I'm not lost anymore, it's because of you?
Yeah.
And also, you know, I started this for, because there was a kid inside me that couldn't even have attention from his mother or even from friends when I thought they were my friends.
Right.
I just see my little self in everybody, even if they're younger than me or way older than me.
Yeah. Yeah. So I love that.
Body.
Yeah. And it's hard, because I know everyone says, oh, the, if you read one bad comment, there's like 100 nice comments, or whether that's in real life or whatever's happening to you, it's so hard to isolate that one bad comment and make that the whole story. But you got to just keep going. Like, you know what I mean? Like, those good comments are far more impactful in general for their lives. And that's ultimately what you're doing here too. So I totally get that. And I'm glad you said that, because it's worth it. I just think it's going to be worth it.
We shouldn't live our life focusing on the dark side. We should focus on finding the rainbow within.
Queer Intentions every Monday. Thanks, you guys.